Hello, welcome to the preview of the 21st Invitational to be played at Hindhead Golf Club on Thursday, the 11th of May. We're fast approaching this now, it's next Thursday. So I thought, obviously, I'd go through a few things about the day, the golf course, and of course, go through the field player by player. So we originally booked Hindhead to host the Invitational back at the start of 2020. It was meant to host the Invitational in 2021. Due to COVID, it got postponed. They couldn't host us in 2021. Instead of us losing the opportunity to play at a prestigious place like Hindhead, I just pushed it back 2 years. So it's been a long time coming. I feel like I've been thinking about Hindhead now since the start of 2020, so we're a week away, so it's really exciting. It's a great course. Spoke to Jonesy, who unfortunately isn't playing. I'll touch on the field later and who's not playing and who is playing, but sadly, Matt Jones isn't playing. He's got a moving house, got a schedule conflict, so he's not playing, but he did offer some thoughts and some comments on the golf course. He said it's very demanding. He said the greens are very tricky. He believes a low handicapper will win because of that. So interesting to get his insight. But we'll be playing off the yellow tees, par 69 course. You know, I've never played it, but just going from the visuals of it, it looks extremely demanding. Obviously, there's lots of heather. You're playing through valleys, it feels like, or it looks like, glacier valleys. So it's going to be very demanding. It's, I believe, of course, just looking at the rankings, it seems to be very underrated. But I just think we're going to have a great day. You know, the format of the day, arrive at 10 a.m. We've got a full breakfast. Then we've got obviously 18 holes, and then afterwards we've got a two-course lunch with the prize giving. So obviously for the Invitational each year, I want to make it, it's obviously our flagship championship, so you know, I want to make it bigger than the other events. So with the two-course lunch afterwards, I'm really looking forward to it. It's just going to add a bit more to the day. We last year at the Berkshire, we done the lunch afterwards and it was very well received. Just makes the day feel a little bit bigger, a little bit more special. So that's a few comments on Hindhead. Trying to think anything else. 10 a.m. meet, we're teeing off at 11 a.m. So, you know, we're not going to be finishing too late. And then, of course, we've got a 24-man field. So like I mentioned earlier, there's a few big names who have dropped out, unfortunately. Jonesy, got no Adam Hunt, 2016 champion, no Jack Wicks, which is shocking. It's the first Invitational he's missed for some time. But what it does have, it has quality in the field. So it's 24-man field. Again, for me, that's a perfect size, really. That's what, 6 four balls. I think when we go to these more prestigious places, I think it's nice to have kind of like not a, you know, it's a healthy field, but it's not a humongous field. It's not 40 players. 24 is perfect. So I'm going to go through the field and go for each player. So first off, let's just get my graphic up. Who have we got? Right, so we've got Arnott. Mike Arnott is the defending champion. You know, Arnott has joined the tour in 2019 and kind of since then he's just taken it by storm. It's obviously well documented what he's done. He's won 4 times on tour. He's won the career Grand Slam already and he's defending champion. He won at the Berkshire last year in dramatic style. He's only played one event this year so far. He missed the Players' Championship. He was out in South Africa for his friend and friend of the tour, Sal Irwee's wedding. I believe he had a T5 at the Pulver Cup. Obviously, that was a limited field event, so it's kind of hard to get his form. on such a small sample size. But Arnie is someone that always competes in the majors. His major record speaks for itself. His invitational record speaks for itself. I didn't realise it was this good. I mean, I pulled the numbers the other day. I've got it here in front of me. So his invitational record goes... his first invitational was 2019 at Chobham. He's gone T5, third, T6, and obviously last year's win. I think Arnott kind of appreciates the magnitude of the invitational, how big it is, the history, you know, into our 21st year now of this staging of this championship. Arnie gets all of that, and I think he rises when we play these, you know, these elite courses. He seems to rise his game. You know, I've going back and forth looking at this field, looking at who's playing, and I just really, there's three players that I think are going to win it, and maybe four, but Arnie is top of the list. He's got to be favourite going into it. I know he's been out in South Africa playing a lot of golf, warm weather training in preparation for major season. I just, you know, I can't see Arnie having a bad day, really. Even if he doesn't have his best stuff, I still think he's going to get a top five. I seriously think he's, you know, he's looking to emulate the only person in invitational history, Joe Slark, to go back to back. Joe famously did it in 2005 and 2006. Hasn't been done. No one's ever defended their title successfully at the invitational apart from Joe Slark. So Arnie's looking to create more history. And, you know, if I had to pick three players who I think are going to win, he's my number one pick. You know, he's very consistent off his six handicap. I've mentioned it before, you know, his swing. You look at his swing and, you know, it's nothing fancy. It's no frills, it's no gimmicks. But he just has an uncanny ability to find the fairway, play consistent golf and shoot consistent scores. And that's why his record speaks for itself. So Arnie is the red hot favourite. You know, there's no Jones there. He's got to be feeling confident. I'm just going to go through the field now. So myself, you know, I'm a two-time champion of this event. This is like Christmas Day for me every year. This is the biggest day of my year. My record up till 2017 was really good, you know. It was really good. I won twice. Had a couple of runner-ups. And then since 2018, it's been fairly poor. And I think, obviously, the direct correlation of that is the fact that we're going to harder golf courses now. We're going to more longer premium golf courses, and of course they're going to be more difficult. Do I think I'm going to win at Hindhead? No, I haven't got a fucking chance in hell. But again, as mentioned, I don't play these events now to win. I play them to see my friends and to play these amazing venues and just to have a good time, really. I've got my two invitational titles. They're back at home in the gaff. I've got nothing else to prove, you know. Just for example, my last five invitations, I've gone T22, 32nd, 22nd, 27th, T20. So my best finish in the last five invitationals, T20. That's pathetic. But it's fine. It's fine. I'm looking forward to Hindhead. I appreciate the demanding task it's going to be. But you know what? This sounds like so sad, but if you said to me I could get a top 15, I would take that. I've got no expectations apart from just having a good time, seeing friends, having a few hazies. Move on to next, Tom Biffin. Where do I start with Biff? Where do I start with Biff? I need to see something from Biff next Thursday. I really need to see something because it's obviously been well documented. His collapse last year, had a 4-shot lead with four to play. He finished bogey, double, birdie, bogey to lose to Arnott by a shot. You know, I don't know where to start. You know, since then, he kind of had a bit more of a quieter back end of 22. And then he started this year red hot again at the Players' Championship. He had a 1-shot lead standing on the 18th tee. And he hit the ball into water and he came second. There has to be a question asked now whether Biffin is still the golfer he was in his 2016 to 2019 run. You know, his 2016 to 2019 invitational run, he went T2 first. So in four invitationals, back to back, his worst finish was runner up with two titles. You know, and throw in at the 2016 period, he won a playoffs title as well. You know, obviously Biffin's, he's not had that level of success since. You know, obviously he came so close last year. But you have to ask yourself, is there scar tissue there? You have a four-shot lead with four to play and you don't get it done in the biggest event of the year at the most premium venue that we've played, you know. There has to be scar tissue, you know. If he gets into a similar position, he has to ask himself, can I close? He got into a similar situation at the Players' Championship last month. And guess what? He couldn't close it down on the 18th. There's big questions of Biff going into this one. And I think you look at this field, there's no Jones. He's the biggest name along with Arnott. I need to see something from him. I need to see life. You know, he's a family man now. That's well documented. You know, he's not partying as hard as he used to. But how has his golf been affected? You know, is he practicing as much? Is he grinding as much? You know, it's difficult when you've got them three titles and you've got a baby at home and you've got a missus that's fucking nagging at you. You can't hit the range as much. You can't hit the golf course as much. Need to see something from Biff, you know, if he wants to still be in discussion for winning these things. I need to see something. So I've got high hopes for Biff. Moving on to Ben Cawthorn. You know, Ben's a bit of an enigma, really. At the start of the year, December, obviously, the Christmas content dropped, and, you know, he left the tour for a few days. We've since then sorted the issues out. I class Ben as a really old friend. You know, we had some good, honest conversations. I held my hand up, apologised for my poor behaviour. And we looked to move forward. You know, I'm really glad Ben has rejoined. Because when Ben is hungry and he wants to win and he's motivated and he's playing well, the tour is a better place. Ben, you know, he's won four times on tour. He's got two major titles. But his CV is glaringly missing an invitational title. He said in the lab WhatsApp chat the other week, I can retire happy once I've won the invitational. You know, Ben's last four invitational starts, he's gone T6, T20, 26 and T7. So, you know, he had the good finish at Prince's, the T6. That was a deep field as well. And you think, okay, Ben's back. What's he done since? Well, I'll tell you what he done. He played the Players' Championship this year. And he walked off after seven holes and left my dad to play by himself. You have to start asking questions. Is Ben as motivated and committed as what he was back in his stretch, back in his run, his 2016-2018 stretch, where he won a major, he won a playoffs? You know, a hungry, fit, motivated Ben Cawthorn is only good for the game and the tour. I hope we see that at Hindhead. I hope the venue, the occasion, I hope it motivates something in him and we get a good day out of Ben. But again, what's he going to do? I'm not sure. I think if Ben has a top 10 at Hindhead, he's got to be happy with that. Moving on to Adam London. What do I say about London? I mean, you know, I think he's getting up there for most PGA Tour starts without a win now. And every year, I think he's gonna nick one. He's gonna win one here. He posts good scores on VPAR, and then fucking there's nothing at the majors. There's no substance. There's nothing. You know, his invitational record, it's not dreadful. It's, you know, he's played. This would be his fifth invitational. He's gone T15, T9, 17th, T18. You know, he's finishing middle of the pack, top 10. It's not dreadful, but at the same time, it's like, I need to see more. London is someone who I think wants to win. I need to see more at the big occasion. But I think we'll probably get the same again. A middle of the pack, a top half, 12th, 13th, 14th finish. We wish him well. Moving on to Dave Casido. where do I start with Dave? You know, he, a couple of years ago, it seemed like he had some real, real fucking momentum. His handicap was coming right down. He was playing a lot. You know, I think this was the time that he was having an affair. So I'm not sure if he was using golf as a vehicle to kind of see his you know, his bit on the side. We're not sure. That's why he's the shagger. Dave's made his Invitational debut at the 2011 Invitational at Amida. So Dave's been around fucking loads now. This is his 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is his 7th Invitational. His best finish is T6, and that was at Prince's. That was an absolute historic performance from Dave, because around Prince's, I gave him no chance and he came 6, you know. So, again, Dave, I'm not sure what to expect. I don't think he's playing his best golf. Looking at his VPAR, speaking to him, getting a feel for it, he doesn't seem like his game is where it was a couple of years ago when he was shooting low scores at Sunbury. But again, Dave brings a lot of energy to the BJ days. I haven't seen him for a while, so I'm looking forward to catching up, shaking his hand, and seeing how he is. But again, I think Dave's got to be realistic. I think if he has a top half finish, he's got to be happy with that, considering the inactivity he's had at major championships in the last few years. Moving on, Danny Slade. He won the Pulborough Cup earlier in the year. Great performance at West Sussex. He's also doing really well in the four-ball better ball. Him and partner Jamie Smithers are now through to the semi-final. They knocked me and Joe Paris out last week. They're playing some really good golf. And so is Danny. Obviously, he's won this year already. And with Danny, he's won twice on tour, and he's won at Moor Park and he's won at West Sussex. Two elite venues. And we're going to Hindhead. That fits into the course fit that Danny likes to play. He's good when he can get his driver and unleash. And I think Danny's going to be able to do that at Hindhead. I like Danny for definitely a top five finish. I think he speaks very highly of Hindhead. He's played the course before. He absolutely loves it. He told me it's a better course than the Berkshire. So that's obviously a very lofty statement. I'm excited to see what Danny does here, because his Invitational record, you know, he's 1, 2, 3, 4. This is Danny's 7th Invitational, yeah. It's mad just to look at these players' names on this list I've got and just see how many, like, Invitationals people have played now, you know. It's just, you know, Danny's played 6 and his best finish is T5. He had that at the 2019 Invitational at Chobham. I like Danny for another top 5, and I wouldn't be surprised if he wins. He's playing well. He's won this year, so there's no pressure on him. Whatever happens the rest of the year, Danny's had a good year, you know. I like Danny. I think he's going to do well at Hindhead. Moving on to Paul Bennett, a.k.a. Cocknose, my dad. Where do I start with my dad? He's having a great year. He had a T2 at West Sussex at the Pulborough Cup, and then he had a T3 at the Players' Championship at Purford Lakes. My dad's so consistent. He's obviously having a good, consistent year this year. He's played Hindhead before years ago. He did play in 1995 Devil's Punch Bowl when Justin Rose famously won. So that's quite a cool little nugget. You know, it's come full circle. I mean, it would be pretty... what's the word? You know, it would just be a special win if he could finally win an Invitational, and it would be at Hindhead. You know, such a great course with such great history. I'd love my dad to win. I'd love it. I'd prefer him to win over me winning another title, you know. I think he's getting on now. He's 67. He needs to start targeting these Invitationals and where I think he can win. And I think Hindhead is one of them. I mean, looking at his record, he had a T3 at the Berkshire last year. That was a very impressive performance. And then the year before that, he came 26th at Prince's. But again, that was a difficult day. And at Purbeck, he came 5th. So his last 3 years, he's had 2 good performances. He's having a really good year. Again, I like my dad for a top 5. And I wouldn't be surprised if he does better than that. I wouldn't be surprised if he won. But I know how much probably winning the invitation would mean to him. It's the oldest championship. And I think I'm not sure how he'd handle that moment if he knows he's got a good opportunity to win. But all he can do is keep playing the good golf he is, and I'm sure he's going to be up there. Moving on to Zach Johnston. You know, Zach, again, last couple of years, he's really turned his BJJ career around, really. You know, he's gone from being a bit of a journeyman to now he's a major champion, two-time BJJ Tour winner. And he, you know, he's had a great start to the year. He had a T6 at the Purford Lakes at the Players' Championship. And then he's someone now that you look at, you know, he gets in the featured groups, he performs, he is up there. And his invitational record isn't great, but I think it's reflective of his BJ Tour career. You know, he's the start of it, he was finding his game, finding ways to improve, therefore his results weren't great. And I wouldn't be surprised if Zach does well. I like him for a top 10. I do like him for a top 10. I think, you know, he's playing off a 16 handicap now, so he's not got as much room with that. But he's got to be confident coming in, you know. I'd like to see Zach do well, and I believe he will do well with the top 10. Moves me on to Jack Futrell, a.k.a. The Rat. Nicknamed The Rat because he looks like a fucking rat. He's just had his second baby. Congrats to Rat. He's got loads of little rats running around now. It's, you know, Jack hasn't played for a couple of years. I think his last day event was the 2021 Invitational at Prince's, and he came T21. Absolutely no form, absolutely no sample size whatsoever to gather my thoughts or picks from with Futrell. He told me he hasn't played for 6 months. I don't think he's got any chance in hell winning. Seriously, you know, life gets in the way. It's hard to play a lot of golf and to be a dad and to work long hours. I get that. I'm happy he's playing. He's a big character. He's, you know, he's a fucking as annoying as hell. But I'd like to see him do well. But do I think he's going to do well? No. No. I think he's going to come 20th, 21st, 22nd. And I'm not trying to take the piss. He's just not playing enough, you know. And to go to Hindhead, of course, it's demanding. I think it's going to be a big ask. But fair play to him. At least he's turning up, unlike his mate Lee Cousins, who's too tight to pay the green fee, you know. Ironically, got the most money on tour, maybe apart from Danny Slay, yet doesn't want to fork out £145. Lee Cousins. 8 holidays a year. Doesn't want to part way with £145 to play Hindhead. Priorities. Moves me on to next. Will Berry, the hustler. He had to do it to him. Will Berry, where do I start? You know, got a lot of respect for the hustler. He seems to have got his appetite for major golf back. Obviously won the Players' Championship 2018. Don't forget that. Beat O'Shea, beat Slark, beat Johnny Codd, all in a playoff. The man's got pedigree. The man has got mettle when he needs it. You know, he had a T3 at the Players' Championship earlier in the year. He's red hot form. You know, I believe he's got momentum. He's trending. I like the hustler. You know, the T3 at the Players really took me off guard because I don't think he's playing a lot of golf coming into it. But you know what? The hustler, Will Berry, he's had a sneaky good year so far. T3 at Players. He's also won his first round match at the Forble Betterball. So he's got some real momentum. I like hustler for a top 10. I'm looking forward to seeing him, shaking his hand, having a glass of red wine with him afterwards whilst we enjoy the hot and cold buffet and just reflecting over good times. Good to see Hustler back. He had a poor year last year at the Invitational. He came 25th, but we played together and we had a great time, and that's what it's about. Moving on to the next player, George Pearce, young P. Just had a baby as well. A lot of babies being born at the moment, which is great for personal reasons, just not great for BGA reasons. George Pearce, I mean, fuck me, it's the same conversation we have every time. How has he not won a major yet? He's won 3 times on tour. He's won a Travellers, a Playoffs. He's won a Forble Betterball. He's won 3 times. But he cannot get over the line at a major championship. I'll put the comp that I have for George for a professional PGA Tour player is Tony Finau. He seems to win all the smaller events, pick them off. But when it comes to the major championships, it's just hard to elevate to that next level. George obviously had a great chance at his debut invitation in 2018. You know, he was leading by 3 strokes with 9 holes to play. And then he had a back nine 60 to lose. You know, he's had chances. He really has. 2019, I played with him. He looked really good through nine, finished 10th. You know, in his last three starts, he's gone at the Invitation, he's gone T13, T9, T9. So consistent returns, but no W. George this year has to win a major. Otherwise, I think we've got to stop having the conversation of he's the best player to not win a major on tour. It's time to do it now. This is his 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is his 6th full year on tour. He plays most of the events. It's time to win a major, George. It really is. Moving on to Phipsy. Ollie Phipsy, obviously, bless him. Had a tough time at the Players' Championship. But you know what? At least he didn't fucking give up. I can't remember how many points he got. And you know what? I'm not going to take the piss. He didn't get many. But you know what? He didn't fucking give up. He carried on to the 18th. You know, he tried hard. Is, you know, his 4 invitationals that he's played. This will be his 5th invitational Phipsy. It's been a bit feast or famine, really. I played with him at Prince's in 2021. And do you know what? For about 15 holes of that, it looked like he was going to fucking win it. He played so well on such a tough golf course. He came T4. But since then, again, Phipsy had a bit of momentum a couple of years ago. His golf seemed to be getting better. His handicap was getting lower. And it seems like he stalled a little bit. And I don't say that in a horrible way. I think, you know, Phipsy, he's got to be realistic. I don't know where his golf game is. At the Players' Championship, he had a nightmare. We're going to Hindhead, which is going to be demanding. Would I like Phipsy to do well? Of course I would, because, you know, again, he brings a lot of energy to the tour. I'd like to see him do well, but where do I think he's going to come? I think he's got to be happy with a top 50. He has. It's a hard course. It doesn't seem like he's got a lot of form. We wish him the best. Moving on to Charlie Pearce. CJP Design and Build. Now also J Patterson Builders. Proud sponsors and partners of the BJ Tour. CJP, where do I start? He's another one, just like his brother. They're just exactly the same, but one's ginger. All right. Charlie has to... He finally won his first BJ Tour title last year. He won it at the Four Ball Better Ball with his brother. It was great. It was historic. It was about time. But do you know what? He's got to step up now. He's got to win something big. You know, he's nearly won before. What's he had? 22, 21, 9, you know, 2019 Invitational. He came runner-up T2. And I think he shot 5 under his handicap that day. He was very unlucky. But Biffin just played just... You know, it was a career performance there. So he was unlucky to not win that. And then last year he came tied 5th and he did well and he had another chance at the Berkshire but couldn't quite get to where he needed to be. I like Charlie. I think he's going to come top 10. I think he started a bit slow this year. He didn't have a great Players' Championship, but I think he's going to pick up. I think he's going to do well at Hindhead. I think a top 10. I think he's got to be happy with that. Moving on to Dickie Smith, Big Dick. His invitational record's poor. He's played 3. His best finish is T15. But with Dickie Smith, he seems to, in the last 18 months, found something. His golf seems to be getting more consistent. He's had some good performances. He came 2nd at the playoffs last year. Do I think he's going to win? No, I don't. But I think he's going to come top half. I think he's going to come top, you know, top 14. Like I said, he's just seems to have found something. His swing is not as erratic. He seems to... he just seems to be more consistent. And his results have shown that in the last 18 months. So he had a good Players' Championship. I think he came top 10 from memory. I like him for a top half finish, but I'd be surprised if he does any better than that. Moving on to Rooney, 2021 Invitational Champion. Rooney's invitational career is interesting, you know. I've known Rooney for a long time. He played back in, 2009 he made his invitational debut. He played 3 invitationals on the trot, 2009, 10, 11. He came 5th, 3rd and 7th. And then he didn't play up until 22, 21, 22, 2019. So he had a 10-year hiatus from the tour. Obviously, during that time, he battled vertigo, he battled hip problems, many other issues. He overcame him and he won in 2021. It was obviously a very popular win. Rooney's a very popular member. of the tour. Do I think he's going to win? No, I don't. But then, did I think he was going to win in 2021? No, I didn't, at Prince's, and he shot the round of his life. You know, he's got that obviously in his locker. He's got that, you know, he's got that, he's capable of that. Do I think he's going to perform next week and win? No, I don't. You know, I think he's going to come middle of the pack. But he's, you know, he was a very popular champion 2 years ago. He didn't do so well last year. He came 27th. So again, he's a feast or famine player, I think. But he seems more motivated. He's lost a lot of weight. You have to give him credit for that. He's saw him at the Players. He looks very lean. He looks in good shape. So respect to Rooney. He's obviously taking the major championship season seriously. You know, he's texted me a few times in the off season saying how much he wants to win, saying that he'd seen Jonesy at the gym, that they'd exchanged comments, that he told him he's going to win the Invitational, that Jonesy had laughed it off. So he's motivated. He's hungry. So we wish him well. George Vincent, you know, I mentioned at the start of the show, I think there's three people that are going to win. He's one of them. I cannot see past Biffin, Arnott and George Vincent. Top three in the world for a reason, because they're the most consistent players on tour. George Vincent's played three Invitationals. This is his record. Second, T2, T3. His worst finish in three Invitationals is third. He obviously had, what was it, 15-foot putt to make a playoff in 21 that he missed. We've obviously seen them videos. That was, you know, that was tough. George has to step up. He obviously won the World Match Play last year. It was a great win. Now's the time to step up. He didn't play the Players' Championship. It's time for a major for George. You know, he's another one a bit like, not quite as bad as George Pierce, because he's obviously not been on tour as long, but he's got to make that next step. This is obviously an event that he really elevates his game for. And I think it's because of the history, because of the prestige, because of the venues that we're playing now, I think his game gets up for it. And I really like George. I think he's going to come top three again, and I wouldn't be surprised if he wins. I really wouldn't. He's got the game. He's got the consistency for a 17 handicap. He's extraordinarily consistent. He's going to do well. Moving on to next, Harry Cripps. This will be his fourth Invitational. You know, Cripps is slowly becoming more and more experienced on tour. He's obviously chalked off a win last year at the playoffs. He's someone that's elevated his game. Again, a bit like Zach Johnson, similar career path. He started as kind of a bit of a journeyman. He's then kind of like worked his handicap down. He obviously got the win at the playoffs. He had a runner-up at the World Match Play. He made the final. So Cripps is just slowly trending. The next, you know, the next stage for Cripps is to win a major. Do I think he's going to win? You know, if this was at the back end of last year, when it seemed like he was really peaking, then of course. But, you know, I think his year so far has been average. I think he came to T7 at Pauper Cup, and then he's, I can't remember where he came at Players' Championship, but I know it was probably halfway, you know, down the leaderboard. So his season's been average. Do I think he's going to win? I don't. I feel like he's going to have another consistent, maybe top 12 finish. But it wouldn't surprise me if he does win, because he's obviously got that capable. You know, he obviously won the playoffs against a really strong field at Kingswood. So interesting to see how Cripps does. Next, Nick Smith. Nick Smith, someone who joined the tour a couple of years ago. It's obviously been documented that he lives in Wigan. It's obviously been well documented that Wigan obviously is a shithole. But you know what? Nick Smith, he's committed as anyone on tour. He's played pretty much every event since signing up to be a member. You know, he was Rookie of the Year? I don't know. He was up there. But anyway, this is his third Invitational, and his two previous finishes, he's gone T9, T9. So, two top 10s, you know, heavy, deep fields. That's respectable. He had a good finish at the Paul Cup earlier in the year with you know, essentially his testicles had just been stitched up 2 days prior due to having the snip. That was obviously a big performance. I think he's going to do well. I think he's going to top 10 again. I think he's someone off 18. There's a bit like George Vincent. He's very comfortable off that handicap. And I think he can compete. I'm waiting for Nick to win something. Do I think he's ready to win the Invitational? I'm not sure. It'll be interesting if he gets in that position, if he's got a chance to win, how will he cope with that? Because I don't think we've really seen that yet. I know at the Pauper Cup he came runner-up, but I don't really think he had any chance to win because Danny was pretty dominant. You know, coming in, he probably had too much to do. See, he's not been in that pressure cooker, that environment where you've got an opportunity to win. And obviously the Invitational is the biggest one to win. You know, we've seen over the years the strange things it does when you're up there. You know, so many instances. Biffin last year had a 4-stroke lead with 4 to play. Me in, when was it, 2017, I had a 4-stroke lead after 10 holes and I fucked it up. There's been so many instances. You know, Adam Hunt, he had a 3-stroke lead coming down the 18th back in 2013 and he got an 11 on the last hole. So many weird things happen at this event because I feel like over all the years, myself mainly, but it's just been built up and up and up and up. And the more years you have, the more history you have. And it just adds to it. And people know that are playing in this, that winning this is, it's a big deal on the PGA Tour. And it's your chance to join history of our little golf society. Next, Kevin Smith. Again, you know, he's played the last two Invitationals, so respect to that. You know, he's not like Lee Cousins, just trying to play the cheap ones. But again, I haven't got enough sample size of Kev, but his two previous Invitationals, he's come T15, T13. And I think we're going to get that again this year. But again, I don't really know what to base it off. I've never seen him play. I don't know how much he plays outside. So it's a total guess. I think he's going to come around 15th, 16th, 17th, something like that. But good luck to him. I like Kev. He's a nice guy. Good to see him playing. I wish he would play more. Moves on to Jamie Wegner. Masters champion. Obviously won the Masters in his debut year last year. That was historic. San Martins. The Wedge. Well, you know, again, it wouldn't surprise me if he's a good golfer, plays off 10, you know. It wouldn't surprise me if he did really well. I think his game's going to be suited to Hindhead, to the demands. I think he's going to be able to cope with, you know, what Jonesy said about the greens, about demanding approach shots. I wouldn't be surprised if he contends. Do I think he's going to win? Probably not. But I like him for a top 10 finish, for sure. He's another one joined last year. He's very committed and dedicated and has played most events. So he's been a good addition to the tour and he's a good guy. So we wish him well. So then we've got three players making their Invitational debut. That's Zenos Foster. I hope I said that right. Dan Sevilla, or Sevilla, however the fuck you say that, and Joe Rogers. Zenos has played earlier in the year. He made his debut at the Pebble Cup. I think he came T7. Solid golfer, single-digit handicap golfer, plays at Burr Hill. Arnie's mate, you know, I think he said to me, he sent me a message early in the week saying that his index would go up. He's not playing good golf at the moment, so that's obviously something to monitor. Again, don't have enough sample size of Zenos, but from what he's telling me, I don't think he's very confident. So I'd be surprised if he won, but we wish him well. I hope he has a good performance. You know, when we get new people playing on tour, it's always good. They get a good one under the belt early on, and then it kind of maybe gives them a bit of confidence and they can kick on. So good luck to Zenos. Joe Rogers and Dan Sevilla, they're making their PGA Tour debut. They played the President's Cup last year, but this is their first kind of singles event. So we wish them both well. Again, not enough sample size. Joe Rogers is about 17 handicap and Dan's about 13. So both solid players. I think Dan plays a lot of Perford Lakes, obviously the host of the Players' Championship. So looking forward to welcoming them to the day. Again, they've joined full time this year and they're already getting involved in the big events, the more expensive events. So we say thanks to them. So that's the field. I've tried to keep it as short as possible. No one really wants to hear me talk for fucking hours on end. But, you know, I think the Invitational, like us touched at the start of the show, I'm trying to elevate it to the point where it's the biggest event of the year by a considerable distance. We're going to the best venues because the thing I've realised with the Invitational is venues matter. If we want this to be our flagship major championship, we need to go to the best venues for this one. We're going to Hindhead this year. The previous year went to Berkshire. The year before that went to Prince's. Went to Isle of Purbeck. There's variety in the selection. Going forward, we're playing going to Hayling next year for the 22nd Invitational. And then from there, I'm targeting top 100 golf courses to host. We've got an idea what we want to do for 2025. We want to do a two-day event. We're in conversation discussions currently with two clubs, trying to negotiate a deal. Trying to elevate this championship, trying to go to the best venues, go to the more varied venues. For example, we're going to Hayling next year, which is a Lynx. We're playing Hindhead with Heathland. Last year was obviously Heathland. The year before that was Lynx. I'm trying to go between the best Lynx courses and the best Heathland courses to give the members variety and to just play these amazing courses because there's so many top golf clubs in the country. Obviously, there's some we can't get on. They're too fucking expensive or they don't want... There's too private, but there's also so many good ones. And going forward, this is what the Invitational is going to be. It's going to be the highest prize fund. I haven't touched on that. The winner will get £250, which is smashes all records previously. So this year, we're elevating. And I couldn't be more excited for this staging, the 21st staging Invitational at Hindhead Golf Club. Please meet there for 10 a.m. next Thursday for breakfast, for the full Hindhead Club breakfast with an 11 a.m. tee off. Really looking forward to it. That's the president and I'm out.